If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
You go back to John's gospel. Jesus has just fed the multitudes the first time. And the Bible says after he did that, everybody wanted to lift him up and make him a big deal. Why? Just because he gave him something to eat. Isn't that amazing? They didn't want to make him a big deal after he raised Lazarus, but after he fed everybody, they wanted to make him a big deal. Don't that sound like us today? All he did was multiply fishes and loaves. I mean, come on. I mean, what was the big deal? He just multiplied fishes and loaves, okay? God's been multiplying food way back in Numbers. The people wanted meat. God says, all right, Moses, I'm going to give them meat. Moses said, look here, we got 600,000 men aside from all the other people. He said, if we killed every animal we have, we won't have enough meat for these people. Now, the King James uses this Elizabethan phrase, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Another translation says, when did I become weak that I can't do what I say? And the Bible said the next day he had a strong wind come. See, sometimes God doesn't do stuff all on his own. He uses what he made. He had a strong wind come and blow a whole bunch of quail. And the Bible said they had so much quail, they died with it in their mouth. So be careful what you wish for. Elijah and the widow woman. Well, if you give me that English muffin, right? Because I know the King James says cake, but it's really like an English muffin. He said, make that English muffin and bring it to me. He said, if you bring me that English muffin, I'll fix it so that you will never run out of oil or meal. Isn't that great? And so here again, we have these people perverting the word of God, coming to you saying, you ought to give me your mortgage money and sow your mortgage money into me, and God will see to it that you always have a place to live, just like the woman did Elijah. I told you, if somebody pulls that Elijah card on you, you tell them, give you a minute while you run down to Walgreens and get a tasty cake and bring it back to them and say, here's what the widow woman gave. Now work it, preacher. Don't let people beguile you into rape. Talk about, oh, well, it's a different economy now. No, she gave him a cake. I believe the Bible. And so he says, after he multiplies the fishes and loaves, the Bible said Jesus broke camp because they wanted to lift him, and he wasn't willing to be lifted. And so by the time he gets over to the other side, the people come after him, and they find him and say, how did you get here so fast? And Jesus said, you're seeking me because of the fishes and the loaves. They were like, yeah, I didn't come over here for no touch. I came over here to eat. I went home and got my family. See, I was down there at the gathering by myself, and I figured, you know, hey, that's why a lot of people go to funerals. They tell their children, you don't have to worry about dinner tonight. We go into a funeral. And that's why I think we should do away with repasses at church. Come and support the family, let them go home and feed their family, and then we don't have to feed everybody at church. The custom started because the family would be in mourning and still dealing with the shock. They'd have family members that came in. The custom was people would bring food to the house so the family could eat. Shoot, the church then turned this thing into a buffet. I don't have my way. People say, oh, you're the pastor. You can do whatever you want to do. No, I can't. Because if I had my way, funerals would be just like Catholic church. You come, the casket is closed. There's a picture on top. They get up, do a few things. You kneel about 37 times. The priest does his thing, and y'all go home. I don't have my way. But Paul is telling us to be built up in Christ. And Jesus, he tells those people, he said, look, you just chasing after me because of what I did. Listen, you're chasing me because of what I did. But this isn't what I'm here for. Yes, the miracle is supposed to entice you to chase me. But that's not what's going to keep you. So I'm not doing it for you. My Father sent manna, but that wasn't the true bread. In other words, another miracle, some more food, manna. But that wasn't the true bread. Now, look, they were just like us. They said, then give us the true bread. We tired of manna. And just give, look, if you got something better, give it to us. Jesus said, I'm the bread. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any part of me. What do? They go, oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We found. Nope, the Bible said they walked away. Just like us. If God doesn't make us as rich as we want to be, we leave. If he doesn't give us that job or that man or that woman, we out of here because we've been programmed to think that we come to God and then God works for us. All right, now I got you. I want that house in Beverly Hills. I need a summer place in the Hamptons. Now, by the way, there's a car that I saw. I didn't even know Jaguar made SUVs, so I want one of them. And while you're at it, get me that job that pays $250,000 a year, because I know you're God and I know you can do it, because the word of faith says you can do it. And we'll lose our connection with God if he says, nah, you're going to take the bus for the next 40 years. And the job that you have is just going to barely keep you where you should be until you learn how to master your spending habits. And I'm going to let you walk alone until you can appreciate me. And I'm not going to give you anything that will take you away from me, because your concept of me is skewed. You actually think that I'm there to serve you. When Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and say, I saved you for my pleasure. For my pleasure. Jesus was so shocked by their response. He looked over at the 12 and said, you leaving too? King James kind of makes you think he was begging. Will you also go away? No, it's more authoritative. You leaving too? Step off. I'll raise up 12 more. I will not lower my relational standard so that you can serve me just when things are going your way. Brothers and sisters, warfare is based upon deception, and we've been deceived into thinking that God exists to give us what will make us happy. But happiness is not a biblical concept. Happiness is a place you visit. Joy is what you have while you're going through any situation. I'm not happy every day. I started my taxes last week. I'm not happy. But I got joy. Amen. I was calling all my godchildren. I got 8 of them. I put them on the income tax. He says, notice what he said. As you have received. There, that verb. It's passive. It's a weird verb, because what Paul is saying is you've received Jesus. And it's weird, because the verb suggests that you chose him. But that's not what the scriptures are teaching us. You were chosen by him. If you're saved today, you were chosen by him. Now, I know there's much controversy about that, because we use terms such as free will. You don't have free will. The Bible never said you did. That is something that people made up. So once again, we can control the apparatus of God. If God is God, listen, how many of you have friends? Just a few. Okay, I understand. Now I know why you're so unhappy. Now, how many of you have a friend that you did not choose? Oh, really? So you have a friend, you call them friend, and you did not choose them to be your friend. Then how'd they get to be your friend? They just meander into your life one day and say, I'm going to be your friend. No, you either misunderstood the question or you're trying to be funny. Everyone that is your friend, you chose them. You chose them to be your friend. God did not choose them, you did. Because the people God puts in your life, you don't call them friends. They're irritants, thorns in the flesh, Judases, Pilates, brothers who sell me into slavery. These are not people you invite to the restaurant for meals. Those are the ones God chooses because he knows that your choice will be people who please you, people who make you happy, people who will take you home after church and not charge you for gas, people who invite you to their homes, people who do things for you. This becomes the rationale by which we choose our friends. Now, those that are not our friends, we're so sophisticated, we say they're acquaintances. They're not friends, they're acquaintances. That means I just know them. Okay, it's a play on words. But let's just go along with your analysis of a friend. A friend is someone chosen by you. A friend is someone that you share with. Years ago, friends were defined by those you let use your bathroom without standing outside the door. Friends, because you know everybody goes into your medicine cabinet. Friends were those you let go into your refrigerator. An acquaintance would come by and say, can I have a glass of water? You say, I'll get it for you just a second. I'll be right back. If a friend says, can I get a glass of water? You say, you know what a glass is. I'll go on, help yourself. That's a friend. Friends have access. Friends fall asleep on your sofa. Put their feet up and you don't yell at them. Acquaintances, I just bought that and I really don't want the cushion, you know, messed up. So if you don't mind, if you're sleepy, you can go home. Jesus says, I call you friends. Why? Because I'm sharing with you the intricacies of the kingdom of God. I'm showing you what it means to be a Christian. I'm telling you that you have to develop the habit of turning the other cheek, of enduring temptation, of going through hardship, because friends get the special lessons. So Paul says, since you have come to him, learn how to function in him. Why? Because of warfare. Because the devil's going to come against you. And he's going to realize that you have not been sufficiently taught how to live as a Christian. He's going to understand that you do not know what it means to be a child of God. And so you try to come to church and take 6 days of worldly living and erase it in 45 minutes of Sunday worship. That's why I keep you as long as I can. I got to have a little better time. Listen to what he says. He's teaching discipleship. He said, since you've received him, walk in him. Whew. You understand? Walk in him. Be like him. Then he says, rooted and built up again in him. How many of us, don't raise your hand, but how many of us are rooted in Christ or rooted in tradition or rooted in personal desires? He goes on. He says, established in the faith, settled in it. Anything that is established can't be moved. And what it takes to move it, it requires something of violence. Your homes are established on a foundation. And the only thing that can move it is an earthquake. That little bit of wind that we had that suburbanites go crazy over. Oh, my God, it's wind. City dwellers, we know what to do. We just get around another building till the wind passes. There's some advantages to being raised in the inner city. Let me move on. Some people are going, I die, yeah, but I can't wait to get out. I'm not saying you have to stay there forever. He just says, established in the faith, listen to this, as you have been taught. Who has been taught? I'm not teaching you how to be established in the faith. I don't have time. I only have sermon time to motivate you to chase him more. That's all I'm doing. I'm warning those that are not saved, you need to get saved or you're going to hell. I'm encouraging those that are saved to hang in there with the Bible, stand on the word of God, because Jesus is coming back to bring you into his divine presence. But these individuals, Paul says, he says, as you have been taught, this is discipleship. You have to be taught how to pray, taught how to fast, taught how to stand, taught how to get along with people, taught how to respond to ungodly behaviors, taught how to deal with an unbelieving spouse, taught how to deal with an unbelieving supervisor. Why? All of these truths are in the Word of God. But most of us are just content with Sunday morning worship, and this is warfare. The devil doesn't care if you go to church on Sunday. He don't want you to live it on Monday. And most of us lose it between Sunday and Monday. Doesn't take long to lose it. What we gain in the peaceful atmosphere of worship, we lose as soon as we leave here. And some of you know, you go outside and someone has parked close to your car. You lose your salvation. What in the world? They parked so close. I'm going to check and see if there's a scratch. And then when the person comes out, praise the Lord, good to see you. Wasn't that a great word this morning? It was all right. Why you parked so close to my car? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that this is my first time. Yeah, well, that ain't no excuse. And where's security? They should be telling people, I just got this car. I tell you, people don't want you to have nothing. Now, wait a minute. You were just in here tongue-talking, dancing down front at the altar, waving flags, shaking tambourines, hopping on one foot, rolling on the floor, took three deacons and two ushers to restrain you, and you outside cussing somebody out because they dinged your car. Paul says, look here, why is this happening? He said, beware, verse 8, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, he answers a question here. When they begin to question who Jesus is and what power does he have, he answers it here in verse 9. For in him, Jesus, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are positionally complete in him. However, I am not complete behaviorally. I have neuroses and psychosis and schizophrenia. I have antisocial personality disorder. I have internal issues and brain functions that need to be helped because no one discipled me. So therefore, if I don't know what's right, I will continue to perpetuate what is wrong. Discipleship is God's shower. All right, let me go on. Salvation is just a bath. That's all it is. You get into the water, and you get clean. Problem is, when you get out, you got the same dirt with you. Because baths are not designed to completely exfoliate you. Because as soon as you get out, you bring some with you. And you know that when you start toweling yourself, you see all that dead skin rolling right off. Because all the bath did was bring it to the surface. But when you get into the shower, it washes it off because it has a different direction. The preaching of the cross is just putting you in the bathtub. But discipleship is a shower, because the consistent exposure to the word of God causes you to remove all those things that the devil can use to attack you. The shower, glory to God, the shower hits your head, your face, your neck, your chest, all the way down to your feet. The shower covers everything. Discipleship training covers your speech, your eyes, your ears. It covers your attitude. It covers your desires. Every part of your life is hit when you take discipleship. And warfare begins to those that are not discipled in a greater way. And we are not discipled. We're just saved. And we love the limitation. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's it. Praise God. Okay. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Watch, verse 16. Let no man judge you in meat, drink, respect of a holy day, or new moon, or of Sabbath days. What's he saying? When you're discipled, you learn that we don't celebrate Easter. When you're discipled, you have to ask a question. Why is our most holy holiday filled with eggs, jelly beans, new clothes, baskets, and parades? What is the devil doing? Taking your mind away from the resurrection. So we ain't thinking about Jesus getting up. We're thinking about what I got to buy my kids, eat dying Easter eggs, buying Cadbury chocolate cream, bunny rabbits. We're thinking about that. That has nothing to do with the resurrection. Ergo, here at Bethel, we don't celebrate Easter. We have Resurrection Day. Discipleship causes you to break free. Now, many of us will feel like we're in bondage when Christmas season starts. Again, the devil is taking another day that's supposed to mean something to us, whether it's the 25th of December or not, I don't care, but it's to signify the birth of Christ. But it's become a commercialized day. And those of us who are saved, because we're not discipled, we fall into that same pattern of behavior. So the world has no difference. Because the Christians are out there on Black Friday, and they're waiting in line at 2 in the morning, and they're fighting over goods that nobody really wants, and they're in massive credit card debt by February. And they lost their joy because they can't pay the debt. And the credit card gets closed. And the credit score goes down to 500. And you want God to give you a mortgage. But we are bound by the traditions of the world. And we lack the courage to say, I'm not celebrating Christmas this year. We lack the courage. We lack the courage to say, I'm not going to be bound this year. Look, all y'all, I love all of you. Here's my gift to all of you. I'll come by and visit all of you. Just give you all 15 minutes of me. If you need me, I'll lay under your tree. Because I'm a gift to you. But we get into bondage, buy what we can't afford, Because like the Colossians, we are bound by the customs of our world. Did God save us to leave? And then we'll justify, well, all traditions, they're not bad. Well, let me follow up with that. If you understand the purpose for the custom and the tradition, there are many things that we do, we don't even know why we do them. We let our children participate in Halloween, but we don't make them come to church. Now, Halloween, just as Resurrection Day, is our most highest holy day because it signifies the resurrection of our Lord. And right behind that is what we call Good Friday, which was perverted because it started out as God Friday, because it was the time that God died. But some secular mind said, we can't let it be God Friday, so we'll change it and make it Good Friday by adding an O. And what is O? Nothing. So they added nothing to it. And so we go around Good Friday and don't even know how it became that. We don't even know how it became Easter. There's a historical, same way with Valentine's Day. Oh, that's a day of love. No, it's not. It's a day of murder. They cut that man's heart out of his chest and sent it to his girlfriend. That's why you send hearts to people, because that's how it started. And we're supposed to be enlightened. It's warfare. If I can keep them bound, if I can keep them following after traditions and customs that have nothing to do with Jesus, the anointing won't flow. They won't see the miracles of healing. They won't see the raising of the dead. But how was it that the first century church was able to see those miracles? Because they separated themselves from everything that was inhibiting the flow of God. You and I have become what we beheld. Man sent me a letter last week from a church in Delaware talking about, I have been put on the list to receive votes for an outstanding humanitarian. My response was not, thank you, I appreciate the opportunity. So I gave it to Denise and said, tear it up. Jesus did not call me to compete for somebody to vote for whether or not I'm the outstanding cleric or humanitarian. I want my rewards in heaven, where Jesus has already cast the deciding vote. I don't want all that stuff, because the very people who put you up can take you down. My walls are not full of certificates from organizations. My walls are full of degrees that I've earned. We have people today who receive honorary degrees and call themselves what they have not earned. And there are factories that just push out doctorate degrees. Just push them out. Because people love to be recognized and to have titles without earning it. Someone has a doctor's degree and their English is horrible. How do you get a doctorate and you can't even identify a subject and a predicate in a sentence? And we just drink it right up. Everybody and his cousin's writing a book today. But when you read them, the grammar is horrible. Horrible. I woke up and God done took me here. And the publisher don't care. They're going to get paid. God is the only one who doesn't receive excellence. It's the tradition of men. The warfare is coming in at a rapid rate. Why? Because Satan knows that deep inside, in places that we don't want to discuss, there's a part of us that we don't want to reveal. There's a part of us that is very prideful and arrogant. It comes up every now and then, not often. But when we want it to come up, we usually preface it with "God said." And the prophet says there are people who say that the Lord has said when God has not spoken. But we don't know, because we have not been discipled. When you're a disciple, you don't fall for foolishness. Listen, I think the televisions have many preachers on today, some that are credible and others that God bless them. But I will tell you this. If you have a person that preaches the word of God, you have to be careful that you don't allow too many other doctrines into your life. Let me tell you why. Because your man of God, your woman of God, may believe in the laying on of hands. They may believe it from a biblical understanding. But you listen to two or three other people who say, oh, well, the laying on of hands is not for you today. And you don't need to be seeking that. And then you come back to your church. And then every time your servant of God lays their hands on someone, there's a divisive spirit that comes up in you because you've listened to somebody else. And when you cannot bring unity to a situation, God can't bless it, because he says where I find unity, I pour out a blessing. So we'll keep bringing the negativity. It's warfare. All warfare doesn't come by somebody trying to work spells on you. Sometimes it comes from somebody just whispering in your ear, why Pastor Lambert wearing that blue preaching flock? Because blue is his favorite color. That's why he wears it. Ain't no spiritual reason. I just look good in it. See, everything got to be spiritual. God told me. God didn't tell me to wear this. I went into my closet, and there were a bunch of them. I chose this one because I felt pretty blue this morning. If it were 2 below 0, I would have wore the black one. But see, we make everything so spiritual. What's for dinner? I'll see what God tells me. If Sister Lambert ever told me that, I'd go out and go to La Familia. I ain't sitting around, because see, God, he give you bread that's sweet in your mouth and bitter in your belly. I don't want that. Bake me some chicken. I'm anointed. You better be anointed and make some biscuits. I don't need nobody too anointed they can't make some biscuits. I'm with the Lord. Well, you better take a break and cook. Lay hands on that chicken. Lay it here. I'll bring it home. You anoint it. Anoint it with some olive oil and put it on fire. We'll see if it can raise the dead. If you feel jerky, we got some spices from the Caribbean. But the point I make in a comical way is that the enemy comes in and we're so deep. Yes, God bless you. Welcome to the service today. I'm serving as the usher. I'd like to bring you down to a seat. Wait a minute. Just wait 1 minute. Yes, over there. That's where he told me to sit. Everything. You walk through the supermarket, which aisle, Lord? Like Jesus is sitting up in heaven saying, all right, go to Giant. No, don't go to Giant. Go to Aldi today. They got better ribs. No, don't go there. Go to the Acme. Jesus isn't, those aren't things. See, this is what discipleship will teach you. It'll teach you that God gave you a brain. He says, don't let people judge you in meat. People fussing with you about meat. I know there's some things you should not eat because of health concerns. But people are fussing with you about meat. Don't let people judge you. He said, don't let them judge you in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon. Don't let people force you into celebrating holidays that you don't find to be on your list of celebrations. People are always trying to judge us for something. You going to work today? They having the parade. You going to take off today? Wouldn't one of the Eagles pay my mortgage? Wow, I can't believe you ain't going. You ain't a fan? Yeah, I watch it at home. Yeah, but I ain't going to take a day off. Well, that's just being part of the wow of the moment. But when we go to Blue Mountain, I can't take off. No, praise the Lord. No. See, I got to work. I can't be going up to pray and taking off work to pray. Oh, but I can take time off for Super Bowl parties and Eagles celebrations and World Series parades. And I can take time off for that. But when it's time to feed my soul, I got to work. You don't think we're in warfare? You're looking for some demon to come at you with an ugly face and a ski mask and a big stick or some other weird stuff to come at you with cauldrons full of boiling oil. And really what he is, he's dressed up in a three-piece suit, carrying a Bible and whispering in your ear lies. Calling you into ministry that God has not called you into. The Bible declares that God is not the author of confusion. Hallelujah. Listen to what he says. He said, let no man beguile you of a reward in voluntary humility and the worshiping of angels. For some reason, over the past 5 years, there has been an expedited conversation about angels. It's just it's becoming more rapid. It's getting faster and it's becoming increasing. It's increasing. It's increasing. Why all this talk about angels? Where is it coming from? All of a sudden, nobody wants to follow God, but they want to have their angel. One person even talks about hearing the flapping of the wings in the service. And there is the dropping of gold dust that hits each of the members. And someone even said that they picked up a feather in church. And the Bible never says that they have feathers. He does say that the seraphs have wings. But all wings don't mean feathers. Pterodactyls had wings, but they didn't have feathers. It was skin covered. But we think that all angels, I hear it. You ever notice that sound is the same sound that comes just before Chucky kills someone? The kids are walking through the woods. What was that? And we just love we love all this foolishness. And Paul said, don't you let anybody beguile you. Bringing you into all of these things that can be defeated. Jesus said, I'm the bread. Eat my flesh, drink my blood, become one with me. They said, we don't want that. We want the things of God, but we don't want God. How can you be a proficient Christian with only one church service a week? How? Does anyone here have a favorite restaurant? None of you. Okay. All right, fine. And the heck with you. And if you have a favorite restaurant, do you go to that restaurant more than once? Yes. And when it's time to eat, are you more prone to choose that restaurant than another one? There's a restaurant down in Old City that I love. I just absolutely adore it. And we went so much till my daughter said, Dad, why are we going here again? And I said, because I like the food and they speak Italian. And so I go for that purpose. When something is part of you, when you're connected to it, how can just one time be enough? Do you see your spouse one time? Just once a day in a 2-hour time period. Don't see him anymore till the next week. But why do we feel that that's okay for church? And then people in other cults go every day and we say, I ain't gonna live like that. But they are so proficient in their cult. And we don't even know our Bible. You don't become an expert by doing 1,000 things once. You become an expert by doing one thing 1,000 times. Do we actually think we're going to stand before God and hear "well done" when he says, pull up their church record and compare it to their work record? Wow, I see on your job you worked every time overtime was offered. Look at this week. The week you had prayer at church, you put in 52 hours of work but didn't make one prayer service. You took everything those people threw at you at work. They talked about you, called your names, held back money. I see here one time you were sick, but you went in anyway because you had run out of your sick days, and they told you you better come in or you weren't going to be paid. But then I look over here on the church record. You had a headache and didn't come to church. You had a hangnail and said, I can't raise my hand and praise the Lord. Somebody talked about you in church and you decided to leave the church. But over here at work, they talk about you every day, but you keep coming in a half hour before starting time. Something don't make sense here to me. Let me see if you got filled with the Holy Spirit back here. Okay. I see here that you did come to the altar, and I see here where you say you were called to preach. But I don't see sanctification anywhere. I don't see discipleship anywhere. I see you using my gifts to further your own cause. I see here you became a prophet. I wonder who called you to do that. Because your message was extremely judgmental. You even told people things that I never told you to say. Where's the warfare? Satan says, if I cannot stop them from coming, which he can't because I'm foreordained, I will cause their life to be such a mess that they will not be effective. In all of your years of being in church and being a Christian, who have you influenced to come to your Jesus? Has one person ever said, because of the life I see you live, I'm coming with you?
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
3418A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.